Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Chertoff from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Coming to us today from our headquarters in Minneapolis is Jerry Zak. Jerry, of course, is the CEO of the association and took over last year. Jerry, thanks for taking the time to do the podcast today.
Sure thing. Thanks, Adam.
So the transition is done. You're now fully in charge. How are you feeling about your role in the direction the association's going?
Oh, it feels great. For starters, a lot of people played a key role in this CEO transition over the past year. I mean, it started with the search committee and coming up with a good plan for kind of a gradual transition of different functional areas from Roy to me over the past year. So a lot of people played key roles in helping make that successful. It started with the search committee. Several members of the board played key roles, probably the most important of which was last year's president, Margaret Hambleton. I mean, I had weekly calls with Margaret, and she played a very important role in helping in the transition. Of course, you know, the entire staff was helpful, and Roy himself played a key role and was great all along. In terms of the direction, I mean, you know, Roy and the co-founders and the board have set this organization on a great direction, actually at a couple different stages now that I think about it, you know, from the very beginning in terms of embarking in the healthcare compliance field and certification. But then, you know, later on through the launch of SCCE and getting outside of the healthcare area, and then most recently, you know, several years ago, from beginning to focus on the international aspect of compliance. So, you know, all three of those areas of focus are great, and I plan to continue, you know, focusing in those same areas. You know, the nice thing is the organization is very, very sound fiscally and operationally. There's a great staff in place, a great board. And I think one of the things that's been most impressive to me over the past year is just when I look at just how many people contribute to this organization in the form of speaking and writing and serving on committees and things like that. I mean, I recently sat in on a couple of these item writing meetings. They call them item writing. It's basically the meetings where, you know, the committees come up with questions for the certification exams. And it was so much fun to sit in on that. It may not sound like very exciting meetings, but it was so impressive to sit in on to see the seriousness and the focus of these people that devote, you know, an entire weekend basically to improving the certification exams. So it's just one of the many things that's been impressing me over the past year.
Yeah, I sat in on one of the very first CCEP item writings years ago, long before I joined the association. And I got to say, I joined with you in being impressed at how much time and effort goes into it and how much effort goes into wording each question so precisely. Mm-hmm. So now that you've had all this time to spend with, you know, members of the staff, the board, volunteers, just general members, met with so many members and attended so many of our conferences, both in the U.S. and globally. What's your sense of where the compliance profession is these days?
Well, yeah, it's for starters, I did spend a big portion of my time in 2018 meeting members. You know, we had, I think, 99 different conferences and events in 2018. I attended, you know, more than 25 of them, kind of split between the healthcare side and the SCCE side, did some both domestically as well as globally. I had a chance to speak with a lot of folks as I, you know, kind of studied the profession even more closely than I ever had in the past. And so, you know, globally, the profession's in a very interesting state, a very diverse state. You know, just as a quick example, I recently was looking at some of the results of the OECD monitoring reports. You know, there's a four-phase monitoring effort that the OECD does for the 44 member countries who have adopted the anti-bribery convention that they came out with, you know, a number of years ago. And you know, when you look at the results, you know, it really is a perfect example of the very mixed state of compliance around the world, because, you know, some countries have very, very advanced compliance environments, you know, where the compliance profession is sort of embedded into the organizational culture, and they've got laws in place that specifically address corruption and that also address compliance programs. And enforcement is very thorough and it's consistent. But it's that last piece really on enforcement that really is the piece that lags the most. That's one of the most noticeable differences from one country to another. You know, for example, I recently spoke to a group of about 400 anti-fraud and corruption professionals, and I had a lot of chances to chat with them. And what I took away from it was both the passion that they had for compliance, but also their frustration because they have a potentially very strong legislative framework that was put in place a couple of years ago for fighting corruption and that addresses, the benefits of compliance programs, but there's no enforcement yet. And I was preaching to them the value and the virtues of patience there because that enforcement piece always lags. You know, they're not the only country like that. You know, most countries have that exact same, development. So I see a lot in that area. A couple other observations in terms of the profession. For starters, I think the compliance profession is still a very young profession. And what we're now really beginning to see is many, many more people who are entering the profession right out of school, their first position out of the college or university. Whereas, you know, when the profession first started, everybody was previously doing something else that got into compliance. So that's one notable change that we're seeing that I think is going to continue, along with people entering the profession from more diverse fields. They're not all lawyers. They're coming from a variety of other fields. We're seeing a lot of folks coming into the compliance from fields like internal audit or investigations, risk management, and other areas. So we're seeing a lot of change in those areas as well.
Yeah, and I think change is one of those things that's going to be defining us for a lot of years, whether it's new people or as you talk, when you leave the U.S. where there's all these laws out there, but they haven't been enforced yet. And I think one of the things that's interesting about what the OECD is doing is even in countries like the U.S. and the U.K. where there is enforcement, they're still pushing them to raise the bar even further and involve compliance more. So now let's talk about, we've talked about sort of where you are now. What's your vision for the association over the next few years and how the SCCEHCCA is going to evolve?
Well, I think first and foremost is to meet the always changing needs of the profession, of our current members, as well as the profession at large. Kind of building on the point that I was making a few minutes ago, as more entry-level people enter the field, they've got different needs. So on one hand, some of our programming that is aimed at very basic elements of compliance programs, we can't get rid of those. Those are important. In fact, if anything, we have to build those out even further and get very, very good basic level training for those folks, because we're having more inexperienced people entering the field, right out of college. But by the same token, the profession is maturing. So we do have folks in the field who have been at it for many, many years. So we also need to provide for educational content that is more advanced, maybe more specialized, more function specific as well. So, when you throw into that now also people entering the field from other fields that aren't coming from law, that are coming at it from internal audit and others, what it means is that we have a broader spectrum that we have to serve now in terms of our educational programming and our publications. So I think that's the main part, of the vision really is in that regard. Obviously there will continue to be a goal towards growing both the healthcare side of our membership as well as the non-healthcare side, both domestically and globally on the non-healthcare side. We don't want to grow just for the sake of growing. We obviously want to first and foremost serve who we currently have as members. But then as we grow, we need to do, appropriate levels and of sort of market research to figure out who these new members are, who should we be targeting as new members. Because, we've had we've been very fortunate that we've got a very stable member retention rate, and that is part of the vision that I have as well, is to keep that. I don't want to just churn members just for the sake of saying, hey, we added a bunch of new members this year, but we also lost a bunch. So I think with adding a more diverse type of membership, I think it gets a little bit more complicated, and we need to be more thoughtful in terms of, you know, adding the right type of programming to satisfy the existing members as well as these new members.
Well, and speaking of adding programming and other resources, you know, there's some big things coming down the pipeline internally. There's been a lot of development in terms of new ways to serve our membership. Can you share some of the innovations that, you know, our members and the community will be seeing over the next few months and through 2019?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's a very exciting time because, you know, we've added a lot of resources internally, and with those resources, you know, we're creating a lot of, you know, exciting new ways of serving the profession. You know, it really starts with some of the most basic things. You know, we're going to have a redesigned set of websites that we'll be launching that really look very, very nice and much easier to navigate. They're just much more robust than the existing website. Both of our flagship magazines have undergone a redesign. So the January issues that are out there that are just now hitting the streets that their people are getting look very different. They look much more professional than they ever have before. So magazines have been redesigned. Ethicos, the publication focuses on business ethics. That's been redesigned and relaunched. You know, so there's a lot of updating of existing programming, but then also some brand new program. We've got a brand new newsletter on supply chain compliance that really, really is looking, you know, wonderful. There's some great content in that, and that's just beginning to hit the streets now after it going through about a 6 to 9 month development period over this past year. So a new newsletter there. We are unveiling the new digital version of the Complete Compliance and Ethics Manual, and that's going to continue to get built out with more and more features over the course of this year. So the version that is currently available for people will continue to improve throughout the year with more of the active links and, you know, reference materials being, you know, linked to the publication. So that's going to be very, very exciting. It's always been a great publication, but now with it really coming to life electronically, it's very, very exciting. And that whole aspect of digital publishing is going to be where you know, folks should really keep their eyes on that, because that's where we're going to have some of our most exciting developments, not just this year, but really we've got a multi-year plan in that regard for having, you know, some really cool new publishing capabilities and content out there.
Yeah, I'd say what I've seen is pretty darn exciting. So last question. We've talked a lot about what you're looking forward to doing in the next few years. Anything that our members should not expect in terms of changes?
Yeah, not expect. Yeah, it's you know, I think the best news from my perspective as I went through my transition here this past year is that there's nothing that was really significantly broken here. You know, there were no crises, no fires to put out. Things were operating very well as they are. So as a result of that, there is no, you know, pressure or, you know, great need to make big, big changes. Most of what has been in place will stay in place. You know, in terms of some specifics, you know, there's going to continue to be the same focus, that core focus on member services. People picking up the phone when a member calls in. You know, you're not going to get stuck in voicemail purgatory when you call into the office here. Someone's going to pick up the phone. You're going to get personal service. You know, that sort of focus on serving the profession, serving the members. I don't want us to ever get away from that. It's something that this organization has done really, really well. And no matter what the growth or change that we go through, you know, that has to stay. I'm going to keep that sort of focus. We're going to continue to have the the world's greatest basic compliance academies, without a doubt. That, you know, I don't want to change those. Those are fantastic. You know, I've sat through several of them, and the feedback that we get on them is just amazing. And the same thing with the certification exams themselves. We talked earlier about those item writing things. I mean, this organization has put so many resources into the development of those certification examinations to follow the global best practices for certification exams. That, you know, I am not going to touch that at all. That is working wonderfully. I'm incredibly impressed with it. So yeah, the core things that we've done don't need to be changed. It's all about just taking advantage of some new opportunities, thinking of new ways to serve our membership in the profession.
Well, Jerry, thanks for talking to us today and sharing what's coming and what isn't coming at the SECE and HCCA. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SECE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.